Content warning for this episode: the effects of emotional abuse and controlling parenting.
On the cover, the silhouette of a young teen girl with space buns holds the hand of an adult man, and the two look ahead of them toward a lit elevator doorway. Facing them, we see an agitated Fay Fox, a boy holding esoteric fire, a mouse with a shield, a massive robot, and his young creator, a somber girl with luxurious dark hair, a teen star in disguise, a tall, slender fish boy, and walking out front, the younger brother who has come to save his sister from herself. Or has he?
Introducing Protean City's newest generation. These kids prove that with a little attitude, a lot of courage, and even more heart, you're never too young to be a hero. This issue featuring...
I'm Elliot Nagra. Do you mind?
I'm Sailfish, and I'm not about to let evil off the hook.
I'm Slingshot, and I never miss.
Everything will be okay. I'm Promise.
I'm Proud Patriot and Rattlesnake. Don't worry, it's a sound plan.
I'm Fenix, and I'll show the world that good can rise from evil.
I'm Ray, and I'm Artie, and two brains are better than one.
I'm Night Shift, and I will put a stop to this.
I am Shield Mouse. Never judge a hero by their size.
So get ready for action, because these kids are outstanding.
This is Outstanding issue number 15, Time to Be a Hero.
Our comic opens with all of our heroes that were previously there, minus Elliot and Mar, lined up, facing Adam Trace with his daughter Alice, who seems wholeheartedly on his side and at his beck and call, next to the window of a cell for Dr. DeVillis, whom everybody knows is a big, big bad and is not one we want to mess with. He is currently locked in his cell with a small porthole window looking out at you, judgy. He is a scientist, as personified by his glasses. That's how we know he is a man of science. He also looks very uncomfortable in the cotton jumpsuit that he is in. He's obviously used to more luxe threads. Behind them, the doors to the very bougie elevator open up, and Elliot Nagra and Marlon Traeger, aka Sailfish, walk through. I am going to cut first to Ellis. You look out and you see the doors to the elevator ding open. Your brother walks in with his best friend ever, Marlon. Did you tell him you were coming here?
I did not.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only mean bad things.
Mm-hmm. So what do we see on the comic page? A thought bubble says that bad things are happening.
I think it'll be maybe a full page, maybe a full spread. It'll be like a flashback to when they were kids. And it's going to be a bunch of memories where Elliot has swooped in, and at the time they wouldn't have known why he knew to be there, to stop her from cutting herself when she was trying to make them some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because she totally thought she knew how. Or when she was trying to balance on a log and they were going across a little creek and she was going to fall and, like, suddenly he was there. Small little memories of them where she was about to mess up, get hurt, hurt somebody else, and Elliot was there because he just knew what was going to happen. And I think it will zoom in on her eyes, and it will be like you'll see the reflection of Elliot in full Nova form, and Ellis, she's going to be realizing, I'm on the wrong side of this.
Hmm.
But it's too late now. Dad's arm is around me, and this feels so nice. So if you want to cut away, that's exactly where Ellis is right now.
Great. We are going to cut to the face of Adam Trace. And he's going to kind of brush off the bite that he just got from Promise and hopefully at this point, Promise has scurried to her feet and has rejoined her group. And he's going to look at all of you and say, whoever took my key card, that belongs to me. I'd like it back now. And he's going to hold out his hand in front of the group at large. I'm going to say it's about 2 feet from all of you. And he is asking someone to step forward and give it to him. This is a challenge and a demand in one. So he has his hand outstretched to the group at large. I'm going to jump to Max, who feels as though he is equal to these big bads.
So Max will, like, he physically, like, puts himself between the rest of the group and the villains. And you see him, like, brace himself with his little shield. Now, mind you, this is, of course, everybody's looking way over the top of his head. He's only a couple of inches off the ground. But he is, like, symbolically putting himself right between them. And he looks up at Adam Trace, but not in the way that, like, I'm looking up to you. He's still got the, like, slight glare in his eye. And he says, we're not going to give you anything.
And he's going to say, excuse me? I was talking to the people? Who are you?
Motherfucker!
And he is absolutely shifting your labels. He is upping your mundane because you're a mouse and lowering your superior because you're a mouse.
Dang.
So wait, upping mundane, lowering superior. Max is very susceptible to people's words. And you see his face, like, kind of like really tighten up as though he's, like, trying to shrug this off. But I'm taking that. He's going to just take that to heart. And it shuts him up for a moment. It puts him in his place.
Okay. Ray, you have just seen your buddy, your bro mouse, take a heart. He rolled in here on a high. He was a real hero outside, and he just came in here, like, guns a-blazing, and just got shot down hard. And you know how easy it is to, like, break his confidence as a hero, and you watch his whole being, like, kind of shuts down at these words.
Now you listen here, buddy. That's my friend you're talking to, and he's not just a mouse. He's a hero. I've seen him on countless occasions help civilians and other heroes. So why don't you just go back to where you belong in a prison cell, like the real criminal you are?
I think you're comforting and supporting your friend, so if you wouldn't mind rolling to comfort and support.
Sure, I can do that. I have -2 because I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So it's only -1 to that, so it's 9.
Wow, that's fantastic. So on a hit, they hear you. They mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if they open up to you. So what would you like to do, Max?
I'm going to clear a condition real quick. I'm going to clear insecure, because my best friend just stood up for me and said how big of a hero I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the like Max looks over his shoulder and up at Ray, and I don't think he actually says anything, but we get like a quick, like, it's not even a full page of montage. It's just like the lower panel of a page of a couple of quick montages. And we see a little thought bubble, and it's every time that Ray has mentioned, like, these times that Max stood up to people. But this time it is reframed so that you always see Max and Ray in panel together. And you just hear Max's little thought bubble of, like, I can be a hero because he's here.
Oh.
And that just, like, passes unspoken between them.
Oh, God, that's freaking cute.
Okay. Wow. Beautiful. Moving. Love you, too. Perfect. Adam Trace doesn't give a fuck. So yeah. He doesn't care how cute you are. He leaves his hand outstretched, and he takes one step forward, and, like, he does that step to place. So he's just, like, standing in front of you again. And he says, I won't ask again. I just want my card back. That's not so hard, is it? And he looks over to Cesaro, who is the oldest, one of the oldest of the group, but looks to have that kind of confidence of an older kid. And he is definitely looking to you to be a voice of reason amongst these children. And his eye contact is giving you that kind of, you know, man to man, give me the thing. I know you feel me.
You know, if I wasn't already in costume, then like the fucking fire wings that are part of my costume come out of my back. And I say, you're gonna back away and go in your cell. You're certainly not gonna touch any of my friends.
So your fire wings are extended behind you, and it's clear that you are not going to do what he's asking of you.
Yeah. Or if he does something to friend, I'm gonna hurt him.
Right, exactly. Totally.
Yeah, I'm threatening him.
And he's gonna put his hand down, realizing that likely the most he has deemed you the most logical of the group, given the reactions that he's gotten from everyone else. And the most logical person has now just sort of threatened him, but like, whatever. And he's going to look over your head and see Elliot kind of gliding in full Nova mode and Mar walking behind him. And Mar is a tall figure. And the two of you come in and he sees you and he's going to say, oh, perfect. My son is here. The group turns around to see Nova Elliot burning in, coming on in, full on Nova.
11, 12, 13. I got a 13.
So hold 3. Fantastic. So you come burning on in.
Like, Elliot is still full on levitating, like, things mm-hmm. are shaking in the room.
You come burning on in, and you kind of hold in a hover stance above, or, like, within the group of friends. And we have a unified front of heroes here. So I want to go through each of you and hear your hero stance. Like, this is like Avengers Midtown stance, like that circular pan thing. It's that. We want that.
Mar is, at this point, when Trace speaks up and directly calls out Elliot, Mar is just going to step in front of him and cross his arms across his chest and like puff his sail up. Just like full height, because he usually hunches over to make himself seem smaller than he is, but he's just like full up, like, I am a big, thick fish boy, and you're going through me before you get to Elliot.
Max has, he like, for his stance, he like plants the shield into the ground, and you can see him sort of like put one leg out behind it as if to brace, and then he's got the other hand up and raised, and he's just sort of squaring himself off.
So Roberta is still at the back and still kind of, but you're definitely in a more ready stance. And as if like she's like warming up her powers, she starts to like faintly glow purple and like aura around her, and her hair starts to like lift angry Miyazaki style.
Rei is looking very intensely, but you can see his arm is raised up, and you can see the reflection of the heads up display that he's got and his glasses. So he's not like actually looking directly at Trace. He's looking at the heads up display, and Artie has placed his hand on Ray's shoulder in preparation for commands.
I think I said at one point that like, maybe in the character file that Phoenix like in costume had a little like ember of fire on his chest.
Yes.
So he pulled off his chest, basically a little ball of fire that falling, and then he like claps his hand like clapping or like even more to like you doing a prayer motion, and then like take that fire and like do a motion like he's pulling something out of his palm, and he forms a fire sword.
Oh, badass. I love that. And you've got the wings, the fire wings.
So oddly enough, when Alea isn't consciously trying to appear to be a hero is when she actually appears most to be like a hero, so she's going to straighten her back and ball up her fists, because on top of everything that's going on, she can tell that Ellis is now distressed and that Trace still has his arm around her, and she is not happy
about that. She is very upset. So she is going to try to be as intimidating as she possibly can.
So I think as Trace was approaching, trying to get the kids to hand over the key card, Promise had gotten back onto all fours and had like the aggressive fox position. But now she has turned back into a person in an aggressive fox position, but still has her antlers and still has like a bit more pointed face with some sharp pointy teeth showing.
And she's a human in fox position.
Yes, she's down on all fours like a fox, but she's a human again.
And we get a really good like two-page spread of this hero stance. And we turn the page to see Ellis's face. It's like a zoom in of just Ellis's face in reaction to all of her friends and her brother looking like they're going to come at her. Ellis, what if we could see into your brain right now, what would we see? Because it's a comic book and we can see into your brain.
Ooh, butterscotch. Ooh, oh boy. Oh, goodness. Cupcakes and rainbows. All right. I think inside of her little brain bubble is just the word butterscotch, like, scribbled frantically, because she does not know where she is anymore. She's mad at everyone, for sure, now. Even Dad, because, wait, I thought this was a good thing. But clearly, the entire room is against us. So, just butterscotch. It's just her curse word.
And we're going to the next panel is Elliot's face, wreathed in the psychic energy as he hovers above his friends in front of his father and his sister. Well, what do you say, Elliot?
It's one of those things where while he it's entirely the kind of gesture that happens between siblings, wherein over his shoulder Ellis's phone is going to like hover, and then it's just going to like fly at her, not in a kind of projectile aggressive way. It's definitely in a sort of I expect you to catch this, but it is significantly harder than you might throw it to any other person. And he is just going to say, "You forgot your phone."
And she's going to catch it. You should have stayed.
No. I didn't say I wanted to hear what you had to say. I just brought you your phone. I can see now that you're quite busy, so I'll go.
I left it for a reason. You shouldn't be here in the first place.
And Adam is going to see his two kids fighting, and he's going to hold up his hands in like a half-assed kind of like, whoa, whoa, whoa way, but he doesn't really care. He's just like going to hold up his hands and be like, now kids. This is a family discussion. We'll handle it as a family. But right now, I need that card. And he is going to aggressively and quickly walk towards Roberta, whom he knows has that card because he saw you pick it up.
I think we all do things at once.
So at this moment, then, he has just walked towards you quickly and with authority. But at this moment, I think it makes sense to do our team moves and get assembled, right? When you enter battle against a dangerous foe as a team, add 2 to the team pool. So you are now at 3, because you start the adventure with 1. If the leader... Oh, who is the leader? Who is the leader of this fight?
Honestly, I would say Elliot.
Elliot, right?
I think it's probably Elliot is my vote, but I don't get really a vote.
It is his family.
Well, he is the glowing psychic boy. I think it's Elliot. I'm not certain if Elliot knows it's Elliot yet.
Elliot does not know it's Elliot.
So, Elliot, do you have influence over everyone in the team?
Not even close. I've not even met some of these people.
Elliot, what is your purpose in the fight?
Kick my dad in the face. I think it's broadly speaking I am here because of Ellis and the consequences of her actions. But Elliot doesn't fully know what those consequences are yet because he's not aware of the Dr. DeVillis thing.
So what is your goal in the fight? What are you
trying
to accomplish?
Whatever Trace is doing.
Great. Is everyone on that same page? Stop Trace.
Yes.
And whatever he has planned. Ellis, you're part of the team. How are you feeling about this goal? Technically,
as
you are
leader
part
of the team. I don't want her. And you can't make me play with my sister.
Well, I'll ask the group then. Do we feel right now that Ellis is part of the team?
Alea will always feel that she's part of the team, so she will default to yes.
No.
Hard no. That ship has sailed.
Mar, yes.
Yes.
Ray?
No.
I think so, yeah.
You think yes. All right, well, that's going to just cost everybody team moves, and that's totally great. So everyone has the same purpose in the fight. Right now, the purpose in the fight is to stop Trace and whatever he has planned. Ellis, are you on board with that plan?
Yeah, we should stop this thing, this one thing that's happening.
We're saying whatever he has planned.
Just
are you on board?
The Dr. Davila's thing, yes.
Okay, great. So add another team. We're at four. If anybody mistrusts the leader or the team, remove a team. Does anybody mistrust the leader or the team?
Yeah, at least half of us mistrust Ellis.
I'm taking away a team because there's no way y'all are balanced right now. If your team is ill-prepared or off-balance, remove a team. Ill-prepared or off-balance?
100%.
Yeah,
yes, off-balance. Yes, sure. That's yeah. Correct. All right, you're at a solid two. Good job, you guys. So he is walking with authority toward you with his hand outstretched towards Roberta first. So I'm going to give her first action.
I'm going to attempt to construct a barrier between him and us using my powers, my psychic construct powers.
Okay, go ahead and roll to unleash your powers, please.
That's going to be an 11.
So on a 10 plus, you do it. So, tell us about what that looks like.
Roberta is panicked because she doesn't know what this guy's gonna do. This is very new for, you know, she thought she was just coming along for laughs, and this has turned out into something very different. So she like panic constructs this barrier. So the ground starts to shake a little bit, and then all of a sudden, like this massive purple energy, not unlike like a cinder block wall, just sort of like builds itself up and up until there's a solid barrier, still translucent, so we can still see each other, but there's definitely like some space now.
And you're protecting just yourself or everyone?
Everybody.
So this barrier, this cinder block purple energy barrier, has been constructed in front of you, and the ground has started to shake. The person most susceptible, right, or the people most susceptible to the ground shaking right now would be Max and Promise. So the two of you feel the earth start to shake beneath you. What do you do? Either one of you.
Max would... If he feels like there's something coming up basically right in front of him, I think he might scramble to the nearest teammate and jump up on a shoulder. That's kind of a go-to move for him.
Okay, who's your nearest teammate?
Probably Ray. It's almost always Ray.
Fantastic. Okay, Ray. So you scurry up and get in a more secure position mm-hmm. on your buddy's shoulder. Promise, the earth beneath you is shaking, and you feel sort of your stance being... shook, but you also see that this protective barrier has gone up between you. What do you do?
I mean, unlike everyone else on the team, Promise can fly. So
Elliot can also fly.
Elliot can also fly. Yay, Team Airborne. I think Promise is going to leap over the barrier that appeared and land on the other side of the Trace family.
This person has leapt behind him, and he sort of follows it with his eyes and looks between the two of you and still deems the bigger threat to be the people behind the purple wall. So his back is to you, but not after acknowledging you with eye contact. He is dismissing you outright and saying that you're not a big threat. So he is shifting his labels with his attention and saying that your danger is... he's lowering your danger and raising your... mundane, probably.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's saying you're not a threat to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try and reject that.
Go ahead. Roll to reject.
Cool. Hey, I rolled a 10, so that gives me an 8 because I'm insecure.
Okay. On a 7 to 9, choose one. Clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up, one label down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 forward.
You know, I'm going to cancel his influence and take +1 forward against him.
Cool. Nice. So he has turned back to the group at large, Adam has, and he's going to now kind of straighten his shoulders and pick up his head, and he's going to turn his head very slightly to his daughter and say, "Ellis, sweetie, we need that card. Go get it for me."
I swallow the lump that is risen in my throat. And then I'm going to use a move from the Zion playbook called Changed Sides. When you mislead or trick an enemy by pretending to be on their side, roll plus danger. On a hit, they buy your charade for now. On a 7-9, choose 1. On 10+, choose 2. So I'm going to roll. And what I'm going to say is, "Of course, Daddy. No problem."
Go ahead and roll plus danger.
Oh my god. Can't fail. Okay, you know, okay, hold on. Plus danger?
Uh-huh.
That's a 12.
Fantastic. So holy crap. Read your hit conditions, your 10+ conditions.
Okay. I can choose 2. You avoid having to provide concrete evidence, you create an opportunity, you expose a weakness or a flaw.
And which are you choosing?
1, I'm going to create an opportunity for someone else to do anything. Literally somebody do something.
Okay, what's the other one? And then we'll...
You expose a weakness or a flaw.
Great. I'm going to say that the weakness or flaw is when you say, "Of course, Daddy," he turns and looks at you and there is sincere love and like pride for you. As fucked up as this man is, he is so happy that you are there by his side. And he does have a, albeit flawed, but a fatherly attachment to you as a person. You are his weakness. In that moment of like fatherly pride and connection, he is distracted. He is not looking at the group. He is not looking at Promise. He is fully like trying to soak in this moment of bonding with his daughter in like the ways he always wanted to happen. And there is definitely an opportunity to be grabbed.
I'm going to attempt to disorient him using ultrasonic sound that I'm going to move through the ground and up into Trace. I think that would be unleashing my powers.
I would agree. So go ahead and roll plus freak.
That would be a 9.
Fantastic. So on a 7-9, mark a condition or the GM will tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
Let's say the ultrasonic sound kind of moves underground, but because of the barrier, it's not as strong as it could be. So let's say that it will be
unstable or temporary.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you send this ripple of sonic energy through the floor and he loses his footing and he starts to sway and he kind of falls to one knee and there's this moment where he's like kind of on one knee, kind of getting ready to stand himself back up. And he looks up to the group of you behind the wall and he's doesn't understand where this came from. It definitely caught him off guard and he doesn't know who did it, where it came from, or who to be targeting next. Meanwhile, inside the cell, Dr. DeVillis is on the ground for the first time in a long time, and he is using this opportunity to start to melt through the door. Anyone who has eyes on him would notice that there is a hot heat coming from that, coming from like the hinge, not the hinge, the closure in the door. So it's starting to bubble and boil and drip, and that door is starting to be melted from the inside.
Okay, I want to like push off the ground with like a bit of fire from my hand, like jump over the barrel, and I say to them, to the group, "Dr. DeVillis is getting out. I'm gonna try to slow him down," and I sprint over to his cell.
And we get this really elaborate and like epic looking like hero push off the ground and the wings go and like you kind of hurl yourself over towards his cell. What is your intention?
I have esoteric fire control, which is controlling the nature of how fire works. I want to shoot the like melting cave with like cold fire.
Okay.
Which is a band-aid solution. But
right. You're trying to prevent it from melting right now. Yeah. Right. Okay, cool. Go roll to unleash your powers, please.
I imagine trying to do like a blowtorch situation. But it's cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's snake eyes, so it doesn't fucking matter what my labels are.
Oh no. Whew, you guys aren't gonna like me for this one.
Go ahead.
As you hurl yourself over and Adam Trace is on the ground, he realizes that he can reach the computer panel from where he is. He sees you kind of jumping over, headed towards the cage, and he panics. And he thinks, gotta do something. I'm outnumbered. And he goes up to the panel, and he just starts just hitting buttons and opens the next available cell in there. Not everybody is under the security that Dr. DeVillis is. Some people are just behind a firewall, and that card has already been swiped. So, here's where it's important for y'all to remember your numbers. I roll a dice. I rolled a 9. That's Alice. Alice, who's your villain?
Oh, that's rad. So, my villain is one we haven't seen in a comic yet. She's like a mid-20s cyberpunk-esque Latinx person who uses she, they pronouns, who is very tired of everything. She's got like techno-empathic powers, and she goes by the name Source:Error.
I love it.
So it sounds kind of like sorcerer.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh my god, I love her. Great. And she has technopath powers?
Yes.
Oh no. Okay, great. And where might we have seen her before, just for some flavor? How did she end up in jail?
Yeah, she kind of went on a spree of just hacking ATM machines, grabbing the cash and running. But eventually they caught wise and rigged one up with a Faraday cage that kind of locks her out of other technology.
Awesome. As Adam Trace is pushing the buttons, all of a sudden, one of the cells that sort of on a wall that you didn't totally notice was there because it's so dark and so void-ish, a door opens on a wall and a static kind of like techno shooting energy on the comic page comes out of this room. Down the side, I'm going to say it's like 3 stories up to the door that opened. And down the side of the wall comes one of those bedsheet ropes that you make when you're a kid and you have to escape through your window. But a big rope kind of drops, I'm going to say halfway to the ground, and a figure comes sparking out and hits the floor. She looks up, and you see the face of Source:Error, who is a Latinx, mid-20s, technopath villain. She's here to help because her man, Trace, said that he would totally add her to his team if she were to help him get out. And he was just waiting for an opportunity to assemble his team. She comes sprinting up, and she sees Promise kind of behind. She is on the same side of this fight as Promise, and she sees you alone on the other side of Trace. She sees him on the ground, and she sees a bunch of kids on the other side. She is going to come toward you, Promise.
Oh no.
What do you do? And she's going to say, hey, little girl, let's get this done. And she's going to like hold out her hands, and the iPad that Trace just used is going to start to spark and fizzle. And she's going to draw those sparks into herself, and like her hands now are sparking.
Yeah, I think Promise like jumps a little, and they're like, actually, the gender binary that you humans kind of cling to is rather outdated. I mean, even within your perceived biological necessity, there's more variants than you can account for with just 2 variant options. So just assuming that I'm a girl because I presently look like this is kind of weird.
I love it so much. And then the text kind of gets smaller and smaller as she keeps saying things because she's nervous and just needs to keep talking.
Adam is using the control panel to release villains. I think that Ray sees that as the most immediate threat, so he is currently trying to hack the control panel so that Trace cannot use it anymore.
Great. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Yeah, that's a three.
Great. While that is happening, as you're trying to hack into it, Source Error feels that because she's a technopath. She feels that you're trying to like hone in on her zone. And she's like, oh, I don't think so. And she's going to snap her fingers and a spark is going to hit back to the like iPad screen. And another door is going to open. I'm going to roll a dice. That's a two. Bree, who's your villain?
Okay, don't be mad at me. My villain is the Seeping Willow.
Seeping Willow? That sounds disgusting.
Seeping Willow, who is plant-based and just oozes toxic ichor and gases and is just completely disgusting. She just, you can tell who it is by smell alone. And she's actually, I don't know if Trace meant to do this, but she is one of his nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because at one point she tried to kidnap Ellis and Elliot to have leverage over Trace. And it's like a whole terrible, long, sad story. And she is in jail because she was caught doing that. And Trace managed to not be in trouble at that time. He's like, look at this terrible person kidnapping my children.
So she happened to be on the ground floor. So a ground floor, I'm going to say like a brick or like stone kind of thick gate opens on the ground floor. And just a waft of just stench hits all of your nostrils. And it's just like, just rancid. And out walks this person who is just oozing and sticking. And there's like a cloud in the comic, like a cloud of, think like, what's the dirty Peanuts character?
Pigpen?
Pigpen. Yeah. It's Pigpen, except like a bazillion times more rancid and disgusting and not cute at all. And the cloud is just coming off of her and she's walking towards you all. And Adam looks over to her and he's not happy to see her, but she is thrilled to be there. And she goes, oh, Adam Trace, we meet again. I have another opportunity. And she throws her hands out and just throws a sticky, gross, smelly ooze straight toward Elliot, because Elliot is this glowing like figure right now. And Mar, I assume you're near Elliot?
Yeah, Mar's one and only thing was stand in front of Elliot, make sure Elliot stays.
So this is coming right at y'all. What do you do?
Mar is going to, as soon as we see the sticky thing starting to fly through the air, he's going to whip a hand up. And at first it looks like it's going to turn into one of those big tentacles that we've seen previously, and it does for a second. But as it travels in the path of this sticky, you know, ooze bomb, it turns liquid, and this big rush of seawater is just going to impact Seeping Willow and push her up against the wall. And I'm trying to wield my powers. I'm going to mark some doom.
No!
Right, so you're wielding your powers as in the adult move?
As in the adult move.
Great. So mark your doom. And when you wield your powers with precision or grace, roll plus freak.
And that is an 11.
Fantastic.
What?
On a hit, on a 10 plus, choose 2. Take hold of something vulnerable to you, create something useful from your environment, neutralize an opponent or threat, at least for now. You get 2.
And the first thing that he's going to do here is neutralize an opponent or a threat, at least for now, that being Seeping Willow. Mm-hmm. I think this is just going to, you know, maybe knock her briefly unconscious. The other thing I would like to do is maybe take hold of something vulnerable, because in the aftermath of that, kind of the other thing that has been going through Mars' head here is Ellis is being held captive by an escaped convict. So as soon as she impacts that water tentacle, is just going to swing back into a regular one, grab her, and pull her towards the rest of the group.
Wow. Okay, so this is one big sweep then.
Yeah, it's big water push, and then turn into a tentacle, sweep, pull.
Fantastic. So the water push happens, and it pushes Seeping Willow back into the wall, and she hits the concrete of the wall and is knocked out. She hits the floor, and like ooze starts to come out in like a more thick. God, I hate this whole image. It's just like a thick, viscous, like nasty sludge-ish. But she's passed out on the floor, and then your tentacle like whips around. And just kind of, I just have that image of that horrible graphic in the third Harry Potter film where he like looks at the Whomping Willow holding him, looks at the camera, and then gets yoinked. And it's like that. You just get yoinked away from your father and back towards the group. You hit the floor and you look up and Mar's arm kind of back. And Mar has just taken you away from your father. All of this is happening kind of simultaneously. These villains are coming out. More are being presented at every turn. And Adam is using his charm to have already, he has already communicated with some of these people. And they are on his side. Meanwhile, Dr. DeVillis has almost melted through the door. Elliot, you glowing beacon of Nova, what do you do?
Can I get a description check on the room we are stood in?
I will ask you to assess the situation, though, because right now what you know is you're standing on concrete. There are some walls because you have seen doors open, but the ceiling seems to go on forever. And where you haven't had a point of reference for your eyes, like a door opening and a person coming out of it, you can't really tell where the other walls are.
That is, I think, a 7.
Great. Ask one. And take plus one forward while acting on the answers.
Okie dokie. I think is the question I have is, what here is the biggest threat?
The biggest threat is Dr. DeVillis. Okay. Because we know that Dr. DeVillis has the potential and the ability to turn himself into a giant 12-foot plus fire-breathing lizard Godzilla monster with claws and fire. It is presumed that that cell that he's in keeps him from doing that. But once he's out and we don't know how tall the ceiling is, he could become much more difficult to handle.
How high are the ceilings in this room?
They seem to go on forever. It's like a big black void. You don't have a point of reference for your eyes to lock onto. You can't figure out where it ends.
Oh, all I needed to know was when, having assessed the situation, Elliot looks at the cell where Dr. DeVillis is melting through, but then his eyes just snap straight back onto Trace, and like this whole fight's been going on around him sort of in slow motion, and he just flies forward at top speed and just slams Trace into the wall at like fairly high off the ground.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to directly engage a threat, and you do get that plus one from your assessing the situation, if you'd like to use it.
I'd like to use it all. Okay, cool. That is 7. And I'm not afraid. 7.
Great. Directly engage threat. Right. On a 7 to 9, pick one. Resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them. Create an opportunity for your allies. Impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition. Elliot wants to frighten him.
Fantastic. So you come flying over your friends in your Nova rage, and he has just gotten up off the ground, and you have just like hit him like a fucking train, and you just run him into the wall, and he hits the wall, and he's not knocked unconscious or anything, but he hits the wall, and the force of you and your ability hits him, and you make eye contact, and we get a panel of the two of you very close to each other. Like, it's like a profile view of your noses touching and this intense eye contact and conviction in you that he, your father, is a bad person. And there's this moment where he is genuinely afraid of the person that you are and the person that you have become. You look like you want to say something, so if you have a line there, you go for it.
No, I think that based on the fact that from what Elliot remembers of his father's powers, and I might be wrong, he is going to be holding him, like, far-ish off the ground against the wall. And I think based on a reference of some flashbacks that have been in previous comics of Ellis and Elliot mentioning their father and how disappointed he was that he couldn't get his son to learn to fly in order to be more useful in robberies. So he's
a little impressed and afraid.
Yeah, but he's going to definitely be fixing him with that kind of that look that he's quite happy that his father is afraid. And he's just going to say, "See, Father, I learned how to fly."
And Adam has a moment of genuine fear. And he's just like fixed on you and not sure like how to, and he's also off the ground right now. In this moment, there is this like pause in the action as everything kind of goes silent around you and we see this conflict between the two of you. Adam Trace has an ally on the ground now. And Source Error was not stopped. And she sees her bud, her ticket out of here, get slammed across the room against the wall by a kid. She is going to draw the power from the screen again and hold one arm out, and she is going to hit you with like an electric current. So I'm going to ask you to roll to take a powerful blow. She is trying to like zap you out of your power stance.
Could I leap in front of that?
I just rolled snake eyes. I just rolled snake eyes.
Great. So that's a miss. So let's have Promise jump in anyway, because that's just fun. So the current goes up, and it was misfired anyway. It was not going to hit Elliot, because Elliot, his power is just like radiating off of him, and it was going to deflect anything that was coming at it anyway. But Promise, you are here to defend your friends. And if anything, you are a good friend. And you see this person attacking your friend who is having a very vulnerable moment with his dad. What do you do?
I think like she raises her hand to shoot the lightning, and Promise leaps up to latch onto the arm, maybe, and is like, "What are you doing? Stop. Why is everyone making everything harder today? I don't like this. I don't like this."
And you're holding on to Source Error's arm?
Yeah, I think she's going to like leap up and grab onto the arm, and then the lightning goes off. And I think what I want to do is like fish around in my trusty cargo shorts for some fairy dust to just throw in her face and try to make her go to sleep.
Ooh, I like. Roll to directly engage a threat.
Oh boy. I rolled a 3, and I have a -3, so that's a 0.
That's a nice. 0. Fantastic. Awful for you. Fun for me. I roll a dice. 7. Adam, who's your villain?
There's a villain here by the name of Repeat Offender.
Repeat Offender. Okay. Yeah.
So his power that he can clone himself, and the clones can make clones up to a certain point. Very clear criminal, because he's in prison right now. He's in like... You know, most people here have on like the orange jumpsuit type thing, but he, being very 1920s, is just like, no, give me the freaking black and white like pajamas that they used to give prisoners.
The stripes.
Yeah. And the repeat offender here, because there is a repeat offender in every prison. This one is a clone, but he can still clone himself.
I love it. I love it so much. And he absolutely has ties to Trace. As being a master criminal, like they absolutely had talked. And the plan was to have Repeat Offender, Trace, and Source Error, like kind of go in and be this like master criminal team, like a thief team. Promise, as you reach up to grab her arm, She's going to just shove you. She's going to like take her hand and like shove you to the ground. And as she does that, the sparks fly off of her and activate another door on the thing. I'm going to say he was in one of the cages that was floating, repeat offender, and like just a bottom opens up out of a cage and he comes just like falling down onto the ground and hits in like a 3-point stance, stands up, and we see repeat offender, a cloning super thief guy that there is a copy of in every prison. He hits the floor and he stands up and he's like, oh, perfect. The gang's all here. And he's going to jump into the fray. Meanwhile, Alice has been thrown via tentacle arm toward her friend. Olea and Roberta, your friend has just been thrown kind of to you and is now away from her dad.
Rattlesnake is going to look to Night Shift since I'm presume that this shield is still up. Yes?
Yeah.
And she's just going to say, keep Ellie safe. And Rattlesnake is going to take off to try to go around the barrier to get to the villains.
Which villain specifically are you headed towards? Meanwhile, keep in mind, if somebody doesn't stop Dr. DeVillis, he's getting out and soon. That door is not holding very well anymore.
I think that Rattlesnake would probably be going for Source Error since she sees Source Error throwing her friends around. So that's who she's going towards.
Fantastic. And she keeps opening doors.
Yeah.
Super too. Problematic. So she is right now not focused on you. She is focused on this person that she just threw to the ground and the door that she just inadvertently opened out of shock. But she's looking at Promise on the ground and feeling very like, yeah, that's right. I did that. Like, I'm a villain. Duh. And she's not looking at you. So what do you do?
Rattlesnake is going to run up and grab her by the arm and just directly shoot ultrasonic sound into her arm in an effort to just kind of blur her vision, make it so that she can't make out anything of what's going on around her.
Okay, great. I'm going to have you unleash your powers.
That is a 5.
Great. I think everybody knows where this is going by now. That is 3. Jeremy, who's your villain?
I'm going to keep it classic with a PCC villain that we hadn't seen in a minute, the Bloodomancer.
So as her arm is being shook by your waves, she inadvertently, again, like she keeps being activated because her powers are being shaken and twitched and like people keep trying to mess with them and she's losing control of her powers in kind of a terrible way. And they keep misfiring and affecting the closest electronics to her, and there's not many in the room. So it opens another door, and out walks the Bloodomancer, a southern gentleman who controls your blood. He's going to walk out and sort of assess the danger. He is not interested in the fight. He is more interested in the getting out. And he sees that the door to get out, the elevator, is beyond the group of children. So he is going to be making his way through the group of children. He's trying to get to the barrier toward the group of children. So he starts just kind of navigating his way around the group, not engaging. And if you let him, he will just walk the heck out. He does not want any part of this, but he is headed right for the group, and you do not know that. Meanwhile, behind the barrier, Roberta, who is holding the barrier strong against this whole thing, the Bloodomancer is going to walk up to the barrier and sort of knock on it half-heartedly, like it's a door. He's going to say, yeah, excuse me, I would just like to, if it's all right with you, I would just like to get over to that elevator, if that would be all right. I am not interested in this whole situation, and I would just see myself right out of here, if you won't mind. And he sort of winks at you.
Outstanding is emceed by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at Save the Turret. Shield Mouse is played by Scott Paladin, who can be found on Twitter at Scott Paladin. Sailfish is played by Jeremy Borders, who can be found on Twitter at TayuFace. Roberta is played by Gabriella Alamon, who can be found on Twitter at CuteAndTough or on Instagram at Glenn Close But No Cigar. Ray and Artie are played by Thomas Fleming, who can be found on Twitter at DarksideVO. Promise is played by Alice Kira, who can be found on Twitter at MagicalGirlKira. Olea is played by Arielle Dubek, who can be found on Instagram at cookies.and.me. Phoenix is played by Adam Collier, who can be found on Twitter at AnimeKnight97. Ellis is played by Bree, who can be found on Twitter at LazyHoneybee and can be heard as part of the streaming crew at ItYouCrew. Elliot is played by Izzy, who can be found on Twitter at PraxisDescends and can be heard as part of the streaming crew at ItYouCrew. Outstanding is a production of the Stop Hack and Roll Podcast Network. It is edited by James Malloy and produced by Elsbeth Denman and James Malloy. Our introduction and credits were voiced by Peter DiGilio. You can find me on Twitter at Voice of Peter. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks: A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Follow us on Twitter at OutstandingPod.